Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter at Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is November the 14th. And so today we're going to be talking about preventing burnout, slumps, and injuries, and how to create life balance, and something we all need for our clients and all need for ourselves as well as coaches. And then I would just have an announcement as well that, you know, the next our next session is always typically on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at this time at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. But since the next one is Thanksgiving, the 28th, we can have the call on the Tuesday, the 26th, 2 days before that. Would that work for everyone?
Sure. Yeah,
it works for me.
Okay. I figured Wednesday people are taking off for different things. So if you can put that on your calendar for Tuesday the 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern, that'll be great. And also if you have topics that you'd like me to talk about, always just feel free to email me, and we can talk about those. If you have questions, you can do that. Like this last time, Dave Mahoney, thank you. You emailed me some questions, and then I thought, well, that's a great topic about balance and preventing burnout, and also, let's create the next topic for our call based on, based on Dave's questions. So I'm always open to that. So that's great. Yeah, because you guys are the ones that, I want to do everything I can to meet your needs and be responsive to what you want. So this is great.
Thank you very much.
Sure, yeah. And let's see, first, does anyone have any success stories or anything, any progress on what projects you were working on?
Anyway. Well, I kind of had to put everything on hold. I just got a position at university for in the faculty for teaching, so I'm creating a curriculum for the winter term, so I've been a little busy. But yeah, Sue.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations on your position.
Yeah. So I'd like to incorporate some of this lifestyle balance into the curriculum for the winter term, so it'll be really exciting.
Okay. What topic are you teaching?
It's called Disasters and Humans. It's for emergency managers in the light of what's happening right now in the Philippines or whatever, but it's basically teaching them how to prepare as best they can for performing and to go out there and work.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, so this could be a really good topic for that.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's great. And speaking of the Philippines, we have one client, one of our performing edge coaches, Hans Pei, who lives in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Got an email from him. I asked him how he's doing over there, and he said, ironically, he just flew out of the Philippines that day for a conference in Orlando, Florida, the day that the storm hit. So amazing how he was saved. He's okay.
Oh, great.
But yet he has lots of family members there and other people that were affected. So
that's horrible.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe he could be on the call and from Florida here. But maybe he can report in next time how things are going.
For sure.
Yeah, it's really the whole thing in the Philippines really relates to disaster, your field of disaster management and recovery.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so Dave, let's see, do you want to start with your, you said send in some questions to me?
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about the interplay between having goals, because everybody's got them, and staying balanced and avoiding burnout. What's the optimal balance that you can have when you're trying to go for a goal? I see so many of athletes that I've worked with kind of get lost, even when they're younger, just trying to stick to a goal and not get burned out is really something I see. A lot of great athletes get stopped because they do get burnout, and I'm sure, how does that apply to the business world too, and how this all work together?
Right. Okay. That's a great question. I think that you know, our sports is really pleasurable and often, you know, and it's so meaningful. But there's always periods when, you know, your interest goes down or your energy diminishes and, you know, you feel like you're not getting to your goals and, you know, find yourself, you know, often athletes, that's one of the reasons oftentimes athletes may call you or business people as well. You feel like they're going through the motions, but there's a lot of internal pressure and, you know, workouts start to feel more like an obligation than pleasure. And that's when you lose that motivation, you can fall into a rut and you can get, you know, performance slumps and injuries and burnout can slowly begin to appear. A lot of times it's not real obvious at first, but for most people, you know, your training provides a sense of confidence and also in business, you know, just working provides a sense of self-confidence and control over life. When your goals become unrealistically high and there's just continual goal after goal without any celebration in between, I think that internal pressure builds up and it makes the work, you know, your workouts look more like a duty than a pleasure. And so one of the things that you can tell athletes is that, did someone else join us?
Pam just joined.
Oh, hi, Pam. How are you? Welcome.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we've got lots of people on the call, so this is great. We were just talking about slumps and burnout first, you know, what that looks like, and then how to avoid that, how to create balance in the lives of your athletes or clients and business clients, and also all these things apply to ourselves as well. I know I've been there as an athlete, you know, just feeling burnt out at certain times. And I think if you can first, you know, kind of normalize that for your clients and tell them that the slumps and burnout are universal experiences. It's something that, you know, we can't avoid completely because our workouts tend to go in peaks and valleys. But I often hear from clients, you know, I recovered from my injury, but I can't seem to get my form back. Or they'll say, I'm, you know, almost at 100% physically, but the motivation isn't there. Or that you hear, I'm working harder than ever, but, you know, putting in more training, but there's no progress. Those kinds of things. Or I feel like my legs are dead. all of those kinds of statements you might hear from clients, those are signs that there's a slump in the making or is already there. And so one of the things that you want to be aware of is how does a slump occur or what does a slump look like? I think a lot of the characteristics that you might find are things like you know, athletes, like you said, Dave, goals, you're chasing goals, your athletic goals are a way to continually prove yourself, but oftentimes people are rarely satisfied even when their goals are reached. They're constantly looking toward the next target and can't really enjoy the journey. And so, because you want to be able to set goals and then have a period of where you feel like you've met the goal and then a period of celebration and reward afterward, and then I feel like a balance is like the swinging of a pendulum in our lives, where, you know, the more the pendulum swings toward the right, toward peak performance, then the more it needs to swing toward the left, toward recovery. And thinking of that pendulum, you know, swinging back and forth is really important for the balance, to work really hard for a goal and then to be able to just come back and to reflect and have a period of relaxation before, you know, getting the next goal. If you can sort of use that image or think of something like that for your clients, of a pendulum swinging back and forth, of peak, and ask yourself, okay, where is my pendulum right now? Is it in, you know, peak performance mode? Am I going toward a goal? Or if I'm feeling burnt out or tired, do I need to swing the pendulum back toward the recovery mode? Because that's just as important as going for the goal. And that's how we get our energy and recharge our batteries, is those that you know, recovery mode, and that could be take many phases, many types of could look different depending on who you are. I mean, you can take breaks, you know, vacations, courses, what we think of as recovery, you know, but a lot of people only get a 2-week vacation once a year, and that's, I think that's definitely not enough. You can also think of weekends as vacations or doing something different. But I think it's good to take a daily break of some sort, a mental vacation every day, even if it's just going out for a 10-minute walk and just being able to reflect and get out of the left brain mode and more into the right brain mode. You know, take if you can take several little 5 or 10-minute walks throughout the day, then you can. That's one simple way to take a break and go in and swing the pendulum back toward recovery mode. But so that's one technique. And then some other things to look for with your clients are, you know, tunnel vision, you know, where they tend to avoid developing a broad-based lifestyle with social support and a variety of interests and a firm sense of self. And a lot of times athletes just, you know, cling to their training as their primary coping mechanism, and they use training and exercise to deal with most of life's stresses. And then, but the problem is, you know, if they get injured or can't perform, then, you know, it, all of a sudden their whole life goes down the tube, and they feel, you know, depression can sink in, and they have nothing else to fall back on. So one of the things that athletes and business clients, I think, need to develop is that sense of a broad-based lifestyle, and ask yourself, one of the questions you can ask your clients is, well, you know, if you were to draw kind of a pie or a big circle with put lines around it with the various parts of your life, like family and time for your training and personal time and work and you know, enjoyment and social time, and you know, just have them put in all the different aspects of their life that they feel are important, and then you know, kind of allot the different sections of the circle and see how much time do you spend, you know, working out, how much time do you spend at work. You know, for athletes, it's probably, you know, too much time in the you know, working out mode and not enough time with social and other things going on. For business people, it might be the opposite. You know, they might have a big chunk of their life spent at work, you know, overworking and not enough time, you know, exercising or with family. But that's a good exercise to do, to have have your clients look at the different sections of their life and see how much is devoted, how much time is devoted to each important part, and then see what are the blind spots, you know, what parts are you not paying attention to, and what parts are screaming or crying out for attention, and try to find some time during the day or each week to devote to each of those important parts of your life. And then some other kinds of signs to look for in clients. Danger signs are, you know, that sense of, you know, obligation, where you feel that you got to complete the daily mileage in your program regardless of the weather conditions or regardless of how you feel, regardless of your health. And training sort of becomes a duty. And oftentimes athletes are injured or they're getting injured, but they ignore that and because they've got a race coming up or they've got an important game coming up, and they'll just keep training and training until their body is so broken down that they have to stop. I'm sure you've all seen that. And I've been there myself. And so,
me too.
Personal confessions, I'm sure.
Probably why I'm asking these questions today.
Yeah. Have you felt that way, Dave? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think I bought into the American dream that, you know, you just got to keep, you know, drop everything else, and this is the only thing that you're focusing on, and it ends up making you, you know, from my own experience, just unhappy and just not balanced. And it's just refreshing to hear somebody in your position pointing out these things. It's really cool.
Yeah, I know. A few years ago, I was so intent on trying to qualify for the Olympic marathon trials. I was training really hard, and that you know, I was just determined. I just had that tunnel vision of I've got to do everything possible to make this, you know, try to make this time, the qualifying time for the Olympic trials. And I kept training, but there was a problem developing in my my foot, and you know, it's plantar fasciitis, the dreaded plantar fasciitis that every athlete hates.
Wow.
And but I was just ignoring it and said, I've got, well, I can just deal with that later. I just got to do this marathon. And it ended up being that I just couldn't, at that time, I couldn't complete the marathon because my foot was hurting so badly. And I ended up having to take a lot more time off than I would have. And so I wrote that chapter in the book, in the Your Performing Edge book, in section 5, with that's called Healing Mental and Physical Wounds, chapter 19. And I wrote that as if it's another client, because I've had, actually had other clients that have dealt with that problem. But this is a true confession. That chapter is actually about me. So chapter 19, when you go back and read that in the Your Performing Edge book, you read it with a different perspective, that it was actually, you know, my own, you know, kind of journey through the darkness of going through injury, and that all of these symptoms that we're talking about here, that, you know, just feeling like you got a goal and that's the only thing that's important. And I remember a neighbor came up to me and she said, remember, you have to walk, have those feet to walk on the rest of your life.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, what a concept. You know, you know, so it's not just all about running. Yeah, it's you know, imagine how, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to be hobbling around or maybe in a wheelchair, who knows what. If you're not care of yourself, and it's you know, yeah, we actually need our bodies for other things than just the sport that we're doing, you know, just to get around. So that kind of put things into perspective for me. And so yeah, no pain. Also that feeling of well, like a thing, yeah, athletes feel like there's no pain, no gain. You continue to train through pain that lessens, that gets worse through a workout, and you're, you know, they feel like I've got to test the pain thresholds, and if I'm not in pain, then I'm not getting enough out of my workout, and being afraid to rest, because they, you know, often have trouble changing gears, and so that's something you can help athletes with, I think, is and business clients, is being able to switch gears, being able to relax and trust that their body will know what to do. So being able to, you could do a visualization around that, you know, say, okay, if we, if you're having, you know, you're in one gear, imagine a gear in a car, you know, going really fast, and we most of us know how to do, be in that gear, but what about the other gears of relaxing and you know, just doing something good for yourself, or you know, and have them make a list of things, you know, just, yeah, a list of what could I do to help myself relax or switch gears. It doesn't necessarily have to be just sitting down and taking a nap. I mean, that's one way, but also you could, you know, athletes are very active, so it could be just going out for a walk is a good way to switch gears from what they're doing usually. Or if you're used to running, then go for a swim. Do a different sport. It could be a changing gears. Or if you're used to at work, if someone's used to, you know, just sitting at their desk working at a computer, if you're working with a business client, ask them, well, what would changing gears mean to you? You know, maybe going to the the lunchroom and socializing with somebody, or calling your your spouse, or taking closing your eyes for a few minutes and taking a deep breath, if that's allowed at work, kind of depending on what it is. Just doing something different. Or for athletes, it might be going a different course. You know, instead of running the same old courses all the time, choosing a different course somewhere else. So ask them, how can you change gears more efficiently? So those are some kinds of things that you know, you see in athletes. And then I've got a risk kind of assessment for slumps that I put in the book there in this chapter on slumps, where you ask yourself or ask your athletes. I think this is a useful one to, you know, to different questions you can ask athletes. Things like, do I have a progressive loss of enthusiasm or energy or sense of purpose? Have I trained too long or hard in a high-pressure situation? Or with these same questions, you could just change the words a little bit to reflect business. Have I worked too long or too hard in a high-pressure situation? Do I feel locked into a routine? Is my normal pace, comfortable pace, feel difficult? Do I dread the thought of training or at work? Do I dread the thought of working? Do I dread the thought of meetings, the dreaded meetings at work? Am I becoming more cynical? Is it difficult to get out of bed in the morning? You know, these could be signs of going into a slump or even traits of depression, possibly. Is my appetite below? A lot of times, you know, you're eating more than you're used to or eating less than you're used to. And then is excessive weight gain or loss or feeling mentally fatigued or irritable. And, you know, so you could ask your clients those questions. You know, just ask them in an interview. In fact, you could even put some on your website kind of thing. Ask clients to ask themselves those questions, and that might bring in even clients to you when they realize that they've got some of these issues. You know, feeling physical or emotional exhaustion, or am I feeling so withdrawn, or do I have an angry, negative attitude? Do I fear that I won't be successful, or am I susceptible to colds or the flu, or different illnesses? And resting heart rate, sometimes that can indicate, you know, a lot of stress too. Have them test their resting heart rate. Is my resting heart rate or the exercise heart rate higher than usual? Or having frequent minor accidents, you know, just that can really be a sign of stress. I've had athletes who, you know, were in top shape, you know, just ready for brilliant marathon or something, and yet they got to the marathon, one Olympic marathoner, she actually tripped walking off a curb and sprained her ankle right before the Olympics. So she'd done all this, you know, months and months of training, and then but having, you know, little accidents like that, just not paying attention and tripping on a curb walking, you know, caused her she wasn't able to complete the marathon. So all kinds of things, that symptoms that you can notice in your athletes, and then some things that you can do to help them to, I think, with preventing burnout would be, developing that sense of internal, you know, having your own intrinsic rewards, having a sense of value, internal value and meaning for your training. A lot of times athletes only want to go for the awards or the time. It's always the external kinds of things that become most important. Or when they get really good, you know, they're going for the money. They're actually doing it as a career. And so, just those external rewards mean everything, but they lose that sense of internal motivation and value. So sometimes the external rewards aren't coming in, and you need to, if you can help them to appreciate, you know, the positive changes that their body is going through, that the training brings, you know, just what we ask them, why did you start your sport in the first place? You know, how did you fall in love with tennis or golf or running or swimming or whatever sport it is, and notice your body's your total sense of health and well-being, and that actually, you know, just the training, the process of training itself can be really rewarding, as even if you don't get first place or win your age group or get the time that you wanted. Just an example of that was I'm actually going for the world record myself in the age group. There's a new event called the Double Road Race. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's put on by Bob Anderson, who's the founder of Runner's World magazine. He started this thing called Global Road Race, where you run a 10K, and then you rest for about an hour, and then you run a 5K. And so the total, your total time is just the 10K plus the 5K. So it's kind of like a relay with yourself. It's a newer event. There's been 7 races now or so of that. And I, so I was going for the world record in the in my age group. And I flew to Kansas this last weekend to do the race. And I was in really good shape and did great, you know, but I ended up missing the record, the world record, by 9 seconds.
Wow.
Well, I ran, yeah, it was an hour and 11 minutes, 20, by, you know, the event was, an hour, my time was 1:11:30, and the record was 1:11:21.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know, frustrating, you know, because that was the, that was that external reward that I was looking for and I wanted so badly, but I think the travel there and just it's you know, it's exhausting, and it was like 30 in the 30s running, very cold temperatures, so it was difficult for my body to you know, run fast under those conditions. But yet, you know, I realized, hey, I had a great time there. I met some great friends. I learned a lot. I got a little bit closer to the record, and I have another chance. I can try it again at another race that's coming up here in Pleasanton in about 5 weeks from now. So, you know, I immediately set a new goal, and I realized I still got, my body got a great workout from that event, and, you know, there was still, I thought, well, what's the learning here, and what benefits did I receive? I'm doing something that's great for my body and my life, and I was able to write about it and realize that, you know, there's always another chance. That's one of the great things about sports, I think, is it's all about second chances, that you don't have to say, this is the end, you know, I didn't get it this time. It was but you can say, hey, it's just a race, and we are doing this for fun. That's the whole idea, and it's experience, and just to be able to, you know, shoot for another goal. And so I was able to kind of reframe it and switch gears and realize there's another chance to do it again. So that was an example of kind of switching from external reward, you know, and the, I mean, the world's not going to end because I didn't get this record. It's just, you know, yeah, gave it my best shot. And that's meaningful to me, that I gave it a really good effort. I did the absolute best I could. And you tell your athletes, if they feel like they did the best they could on that day, all your body can do is what it's capable of that day. And if you give it your best effort, then you should feel really good about that, and then be able to say, okay, what can we do next time to make you even stronger? So intrinsic rewards are just as important as the external ones. And then you want to help your athlete to create your own seasons. A lot of sports, like running, I mean, there's continual races all year round. There's no real season, so like with road racing, so athletes tend to overtrain, and they're just going from one race to another, and they never have any breaks. So if you can, with certain things, you need to create your own seasons or your own uptime and downtime, have the pendulum swing to the right toward a race or a game, and then be able to have it swing back toward the left and say, I'm going to take some time off here. And it doesn't mean you have to be a couch potato, but just be, you know, you can do something different, you know, do more swimming or cycling or do a different sport for a little bit of time. Or just do your running, but not, for instance, but not run as intensively. And so you can divide the year into different types of training or competing in different sports. If you have high school kids, a lot of times they're competing in different sports throughout the year. You know, soccer one time of the year, and then they're doing track another section, and basketball another section, and they're, you know, just multi-talented. And so that can be a really good thing to switch sports. But it can also be can lead to burnout because there's just so many different things that they're doing, and no break in between, that they might feel overwhelmed. So it's, if you can try to create some sort of break where they're not where there isn't a lot of demands, or have them ask them how they can create that or create that into the schedule, then you can prevent that burnout or prevent as much of a burnout. And then you want to build in variety, you know, just try to do as much, you know, different kinds of things as you can, different courses, different sports, different types of workouts. You know, for running, you've got speed workouts, and then there's long workouts, and there's track workouts and tempo runs and all these different types of training. And so you want to be able to do these different types of training as opposed to running at the same speed all the time. And then, you know, so another way to do breaks, too, is to create a or go on a sports vacation, like a running, like a camp. You know, all summer there's these different sports camps. So, and you as coaches might want to be interested in that. You know, just go online and look for whatever sport that you're interested in. Just look for summer camps in your sport and ask and see if you can get a talk there, give a talk and at the camp. And it's a great way for you to get your own sports vacation paid for. Oftentimes they love to have you speak, so they'll, you know, pay for you to come in. Sometimes they'll pay for you to give talks. Or if not, then they'll pay for your way there and your room and board, and you get these. I've gotten amazing sports vacations. Gone to Vancouver and in Canada, and did a great. Or I went to the ski area up there? Whistler, right? You know Whistler?
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Might be on. Right. Yeah. Whistler. I did a talk there at a women's running camp. I was looking at the opening my closet to look at the sweatshirt that I bought there. it says Whistler on it. It was amazing. You know, just running on these beautiful trails that normally people ski on in the wintertime, but they'll have running camps in the summertime. So they run on the cross-country ski trails and stuff. And so you can give talks at these various camps and get your way paid there, and then get a great vacation for yourself. And then also it's a great way to just other people are getting – you can encourage your clients to sign up for these kind of camps too, to do some – discover new places to train and learn more about your sport and connect with new faces and, you know, plan a healthy getaway somewhere to someplace. So, so those are some things that you can do to regain your sense of balance and prevent burnout. And then I think that the important thing with it too is just some preventative aspects is to learn how to take the pressure off, you know, especially if if there's just constant pressure. That's what builds that. What leads up to burnout, if you can have those times when you don't have as much pressure, that's so important for our feeling of balance, to let your, you know, to take a little bit of time off and lighten up on a rigid training schedule and just kind of train according to how you feel each day and not remove those strict deadlines. And also just so that let your next breakthrough occur naturally. So those are some I want to talk about some other things here, too. But let me just ask you for a minute. Yeah, do you have other questions in this area?
I think you really, at the moment, I don't. I'm just really taking it all in. It's really great, all the information you've given. I'm just absorbing it all. I've written it all down.
Okay, great, yeah.
I might have questions coming up after I kind of let us digest it all, though, like maybe not even today.
Yeah, that's good. You said, I think, Dave, you said you might have an opportunity to work with your dad, your father?
Yeah. My dad owns a small company, 50 employees, and he's always looking to improve the performance of the sales team as well. And I told him about what I was doing, and he said, you know, when you feel ready, and he said, I'd be interested in letting you come in. And then I thought to myself, there's a couple months every year that I have free time, and well, more free time. And I think in my own life, this plays into a good balance thing for me, because it kind of takes me away from golf and you know, get my mind going in a little bit of a different direction. And I was just curious if you had ever worked in, you know, a small company, and, you know, I'm sure if I, you know, showed them that I had some valuable stuff, you know, maybe that I would be able to, you know, say, I don't even know if it'd be possible if I could work like 100 hours there or, you know, 10 hours a week for a little while. And I don't know if that's possible, or maybe that's too much to think about off the bat, but I wanted to get your insight on that as well.
Yeah, when you're working with companies and business, it's a great opportunity with your dad. You've got an inroad there to some great things, and I think you can, you know, you could do a workshop there maybe on, start with that, a talk about balance in your life, and those two things, you know, preventing burnout and creating balance would be really good topics, I think, you could, and then maybe build it into a, you know, 8 or 10 week course. They could do it maybe at lunchtime. A lot of companies have what's called lunch and learns, where they bring their brown bag lunch and hear a speaker, and you can teach there. And then you could do that on a regular basis, once a week or once a month, and it could then build into you know, having clients. From that individual clients that would pay you to pay you really well to do consulting with them on, because a lot of people in companies are in a lot of trouble, but they don't feel comfortable saying anything. You know, they're just they're developing bad habits like alcohol or smoking, or they're just gaining a lot of weight, or they're overwhelmed because there's downsizing and they're having to do a lot more work. And so if you can create some ways to for people to come in, a support group kind of thing, and education for you to talk about things like how to build downtime into your schedule, you know, just, you know, when you plan your week, mm-hmm. just make a point to schedule time with your family and friends and activities that help you recharge. Ask them to make a list of things that activities. What are the activities that help you recharge your batteries? What are the things you enjoy doing? And then, you know, also things that, you know, here's some other tips you can give them, like drop activities that sap your time or energy. So a lot of times people waste time on things, activities or people that add no value, spending too much time at work with a colleague or someone who's constantly venting or gossiping or somebody looking for free counseling from you. So those kinds of people, you want to, you know, if they can drop those or not spend as much time with those kinds of people that are sapping energy. You think of your day as like a battery. You know, you wake up in the morning, you've got this battery that's all filled up, and then as you go through the day, your battery kind of, you know, gets the energy flowing out, and you've only got a limited amount of energy in there before you go to sleep at night. So thinking, how can I use my battery in the maximum way to so I'm more productive and doing the things that that really will benefit me and benefit others, and then take avoid the things that are going to sap all that energy. Just constantly, some people are constantly looking at the computer for email or answering phone calls and just kind of doing administrative stuff all day long, and you feel like, God, I haven't got anything done. So if you can do, like, the big things, think of it as another tip is, you know, try to take on the big tasks first early in the morning. That's when we usually, our battery is fullest. We have the most energy, and go for it and just really go for say if you've got something that, really requires major focus, you know, do that thing first. Or if it's something that is maybe a personal item that's more that someone wants to get done, that where they really feel fulfilled. You know, get up 2 hours early before you have to go to work and get that thing done, whether it's do your taxes or, you know, that's really exciting. writing that letter to somebody, or if it's maybe a creative project, somebody's writing a book, you know, think of that each day. Somebody's making a funny sound in the background. I'm not sure what that was, but anyway, so that's some tips. And then, rethink your errands and tasks that you have to do. It's best to group tasks in terms of mindset, you know, as well as the same types of activities. So if you've got something, if you're returning emails or replying to emails, do all that in one chunk, maybe while you're in the email mindset. And then if you're, because it takes time to be able to switch gears to doing something else and thinking, okay, well, now what was I doing on that project? So if you can stay in the same mindset and do several things that are, you know, if you have to return phone calls, do two or three of those at once so that you're staying in that same mindset. If it's somebody who's in sales and they have to do a particular sales call, then you're in that kind of mindset. It's best to do those all at once so that you don't have to keep gearing up for, you know, another sales call, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's a good, thing. And then get, you know, people at work, they have sort of the opposite. When you're dealing with business clients, they usually have the opposite thing going on than the opposite issue of athletes, where athletes are working out too much. Usually people in business are not working out enough, so you can tell them to, you know, research shows that exercise helps you keep more alert. So, they're thinking, when I don't exercise because I have to squeeze in another hour of writing, but they're just kind of, a lot of people are just sitting at the computer not doing anything, feeling like, oh, the more I do, the better I'll feel, but your mind is just kind of blank. So, I mean, it can be as simple as if someone has their own office or something, just getting up and walking in place or skipping in place for, 2 minutes or whatever, can be very simple kind of thing, or going outside for a quick 5-minute walk, or if you can't get outside, if it's cold in the wintertime, now that it's getting colder, they can even if they're taking a bathroom break, go in the restroom and go into the larger, disabled stall if nobody else needs that, and, you know, do your quick, walking or skipping in there, and, whatever it takes to get a little bit of exercise, do some toe touchers or something simple as that can make a huge difference in your energy level. If you're working at home, like many of us, you might have the luxury of going out for, a run or a bike ride or something, in the middle of the day. It can really increase your energy level. I actually have one of those inversion tables. You're going to laugh, but I actually spend my time hanging upside down. So I don't know if you've heard of those. If you just Google it, inversion table, and it's you can find them at most back stores and stuff too. And it's you lock your feet into it's like those gravity boots. You lock your feet into these boots, and then the table, it's actually a long table that you're a narrow thing that you're laying on, and it just goes upside down, and then you can just hang upside down for about 10 minutes or so, and it's just amazing. I do all my creative thinking upside down.
Really? Wow.
So those things are amazing, yeah, and plus it's great for your back because it just decompresses all the vertebrae, so it solves back problems and neck problems and from sitting at the computer for so long. So, and you feel fantastic. And afterward, I get up and then I can be a lot more productive. So they're called inversion tables. they're really a fun kind of thing to be able to a different way to you can see the whole different perspective. Yeah, I watched David Letterman on TV upside down now. So, that's great. You know, I mean, you don't want to spend hours and hours there, but a little bit of time just to, you know, just changes, it just allows you to take another way to take a break. So, so those are some ideas. And I've got a lot more, too. I just want to kind of check in with everybody here. I don't know, like, Amy, I don't know if you're there. Did you get a chance to – you had a meeting with an insurance company, I think, right? I don't know if Amy's still there or if she had to leave. She had an important meeting with an insurance company where she was going to try to get a speaking with them. Maybe if she can come back on later. Yeah, and then Sue, did you have questions? You've got you're going to be teaching a course on emergency workers. Or she might be on mute because she said she had to be in a noisy room, I think, too. Yeah, Pam, are you still there too?
I am here. Yes.
Oh yeah. Do you have any questions or any examples?
No, nothing to add. Just listening right now.
Okay, good. Just want to check in.
Yeah,
that's great. I know you've got your volleyball or soccer players that you're focusing on.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now in Eagle, Colorado, working with hopefully skiers and snowboarders too. So.
Oh wow! Just for this winter.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah. So that's exciting. Yeah. And any ones that are looking toward the Olympics, or
hopefully, yeah, I'm doing some consulting and then referral to the Vail Ski and Snowboard Academy, which has a school, and there's kids definitely gearing up for the Olympics. So yeah.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, so that's one area that. If any of you are interested in working with athletes in this Winter Olympics that's coming up, you can just know that it's February. I think it starts the first week.
February, yes. Yeah, there'll be, Copper Mountain, they're announcing some of the ski teams this weekend. So
they're announcing the what? Oh, the team?
Some of the ski team members this weekend, so.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And so you can often you may be able to contact, if you have contacts in that area like you already do, Pam, you could maybe offer to work with one of the skiers who's made the team. And sometimes they'll either pay you or if you offer to work with them complimentary, just someone who's made the Olympic team, that can really help with getting a great Olympic testimonial for your website, that kind of thing. And then even if you're not, like they may be going to the Olympics, and you can just work with them by phone and Skype, or here, and then when they go to the Olympics, work with them by phone or Skype there in Russia. In Sochi, it would be, that's a great way to be able to work with them and then contact media people and be an expert and say that you're, working with Olympians and can give an inside sort of story to your work with them. That's a great way to capitalize on the Olympics that are coming up. So, congratulations on that, Pam.
I'm working on it now. I got to go do some more marketing with the people that work there, so. On my radar for this week and next week. So.
Yeah, snowboarders and skiers, and are they the training in Vail in Colorado?
In the whole Vail Valley. Yeah, and I'm actually living close there now, so moving, so working on it.
Okay. You might want to write an article or something, too. That's another way to get their attention. Write a few tips or something, mental training tips for skiers and snowboarders, and just specifically toward their sport. And and some, you know, pitfalls or mistakes to avoid, and then send it to their, you know, the coaches to, if they have a newsletter or a website or something, you might be able to get your article on their website so that the athletes can see it. So that's a great way. Any kind of information you can give, a sample of what you do would be great, yeah. As well as video, of course, just making a quick video on, you know, using that Google Hangouts that we've done. You can make a Google Hangout to just where you don't have to talk to, you know, you and I did one with an interview. You can also do Google Hangouts. You can do one on your own just talking and then put it up on YouTube kind of thing or put it up on your website. And that's a great way for people to get to know you and trust you and like you and all. So that's great. Yeah. And by the way.
Yeah, good.
Okay, good. Yeah, congratulations. I was going to say, each of you, as you get certified here, I'd like to be able to interview you, do a video interview using using Google Hangouts, which is like a Skype video call. I did one with, I know, Pam, and I've done one with Amy and a few people, and it's to be able to promote you and your website and all, and put it up on YouTube, and so that you and I can just talk by video. So whenever you have a time that you'd like to do that, you can just let me know a good time, and then we can just arrange to do that. It just takes 5 or 10 minutes or so, and then it's a great tool that you can learn to use yourself. It's called Google Hangouts, and that's free. And that way you can be able to do your own videos very easily, too. And you don't need all you need is the webcam built into your computer. So it's great. Yeah. So, yeah, great. Alex, did you have any questions? Are you still there, too?
Yeah, I'm here. No, just listening. I think it's a lot of wonderful information.
Okay, great.
One of the things, if I have to summarize a little bit what you're saying, is in order to avoid this burnout, the key is to have to try to keep a balanced life to some extent.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was wondering if one of the causes of burnout may be trying to achieve exterior goals that are outside the athlete's control, meaning trying to please a coach, trying to please somebody else, or things I have really no control over what can and cannot do. So I'm just curious if that may be sometimes a reason for burnout, and without the athlete really noticing, that's what's me happening.
Oh yeah, I like that. You've got a lot of insight with that, Alex. That's great. Thanks for bringing that up, because that is a real issue with athletes, is trying to get things that are beyond their control, because oftentimes coaches, no matter what you do, you can be the absolute best in the world, but you're never good enough,
mm-hmm.
according to the coach. And so they're constantly, as you say, trying to please the coach and do the right things. And coaches, a lot of coaches, just do not, they only give negative feedback or feedback that here's what you need to change, here's what you need to do next. But very rarely do they give any kind of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be, for sure, Alex, a reason for burnout. And one of the things you can do is make the athlete aware of that and find out what the coach, you know, ask the athlete, what is your coach's style how do they work? And a lot of times athletes will say that, I'm constantly trying to do the right thing, but all I get is, you're not good enough, or you've got to get faster, you got to get stronger. And oftentimes they come from a family where their parents were saying the same thing. you'll never be good enough, or they're getting those kinds of messages, you know, when they're growing up, and then they're getting the continual messages from the coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating to the athlete, because they feel like they internalize that, saying, I'm never good enough. And if you can turn that around, one of the things that we as Performing Edge coaches can do is if you can teach the athlete how to be their own coach and how to reinforce themselves in a positive way, even if the coach doesn't. For instance, the power words are really good with that. Chapter 7 in my book, it talks about the, in your Performing Edge, talks about the how to use power words and being able to say something to yourself. Like with Pam, you've got an athlete that's a great skier and he just does a great run, but maybe the time wasn't, let's say a speed skier, and the time wasn't as fast as he wanted. But for the athlete to be able to say, how to ask yourself, how did I feel on that run, or how was my effort level, independent of what any kind of external feedback, just say, how did I do myself? How do I feel about that? And just be able to say, so that the athlete can say, I gave it my best effort, and that's good. That's what matters is my effort level and my energy level and my enjoyment. Just being able to say, give yourself positive feedback and just be able to say, good job. Good job, self.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was the best I could do at that time, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I worked on whatever technique that I was working on for that run. So.
That's right.
They can, interesting. I did a good job. And I'm happy with that run, or happy with that technique, or the focus, or my confidence, or whatever it is that they're, the process kinds of things that they need to do, working on their pace or their technique, the movement, just focusing on those kinds of things, because those are things that maybe the coach couldn't see. They're just looking at the time or the specific whether they completed the jump or something, but if you did everything correctly or did all the different steps you were working on, that's what you want to reinforce yourself for, and say, be able to say to yourself, good job, I did well on that. So, yeah, that's great, Alex. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think burnout manifests by the athlete just giving in or giving up.
Giving up, rather.
I mean, just fed up with not achieving somebody else's goals or receiving too much pressure from, coaches, to a point where say, hey, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore, or just losing interest.
Yeah, and sometimes if there's a conflict between the athlete and the coach, sometimes if they have a choice, they might be able to choose a different coach or go to a different team or something. Sometimes that, just a change like that can make a huge difference. And a lot of times coaches, will favor one athlete. There's that kind of politics going on, and even though I know I've had it, with had a high school girl here with volleyball recently who she was clearly the best on the team, the best defensive player on the team, but the coach was always favoring this other athlete and letting her play instead, giving the other athlete a lot more play time because the athlete was sort of kissing up to the coach, and the other athlete had a lot better rapport with the coach, and so she, let her play all the time, and so it was really frustrating for my athlete to be able to, when she was clearly so much better and her stats and everything were clearly better. So we talked about, I coached her on actually how to have a talk with the coach about that. Sometimes you can do that if the athlete is confident enough and articulate enough. You can write out a script of what they want to say to the coach, and or kind of the unedited script first of what they really want to say, and then kind of just raw feelings, and then you go back and you say, okay, now let's edit that so that it's easier for the coach to hear, or so that we kind of put everything in the right order. Use the sandwich technique, I like to call it, where you always start off with something positive. Giving some sort of compliment or a good side of things, and then say the difficult part in the middle, yeah. Or the hard part, and then always finish with something positive at the end, too. That's what I call the sandwich technique,
yeah.
And that always works really well. It tends to work well in communication. So, she actually did end up giving a talk to her coach about it, and then the coach, that changed things dramatically, and the coach was able to, really saw her point of view, and then gave her a lot more playing time, especially at the national championships where it really counted. So that conversation we had was critical, teaching her how to have that conversation. We actually wrote out a script for her to say, and then I asked her to practice it with me, a role play type thing. And that's one thing you can have your athletes do with you is role play it. So you pretend to be the coach and the athlete is talking to you and can, practice with you a few things. And you pretend like you're the difficult coach. So you could do it that way. And then ask the athlete to also practice at home, just to practice maybe talking with their parents or practice talking in the mirror. And once you say those difficult words over and over a few times, it becomes more easier to say those words and more natural, so that when the athlete comes to the coach and has to say, what they really want to say and say, I'm doing my best effort here and I feel like I need more play time or whatever it is that they're requesting, they can say those words with confidence, and oftentimes that can be a life changing or it can be a real transformation for them to realize, hey, I can stand up to this person, or I can really talk to them and then get through to them, and then the coach might change their attitude. Or if they don't, then maybe the coach, at least the athlete, knows, okay, I gave it my best shot. And that coach is not going to change, and so maybe I'll go somewhere else and work with a different coach. And they may decide that too. But at least oftentimes you can give athletes the tools and the skill to really express themselves better. And sometimes they're learning lessons of not just in the sport; they're learning lessons for life. And that oftentimes those conversations, they realize, geez, if I can talk to my coach like this, it means I could do anything. I could, be successful in being more assertive at work or being more assertive as a student or whatever it is. That conversation can be something that they remember for the rest of their lives. So that's great. Yeah. Hope that helps, Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Suzanne, are you back? I don't know if Sue was there or if she got off the line. Maybe she had a question earlier about working with emergency workers, I think. But anyway, we can talk about that next time too. So yeah, some other things that I wanted to just mention are, just in creating balance in your life. Some of the benefits of that are that you can, when you do have a balanced lifestyle, you can perform with enthusiasm and more of a sense of purpose. And I think the great athletes, the champions, are able to manage lives that have diversity and balance. And that way, when they get loss or disappointment in their sport, it's much easier to handle when you have other things to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And so I think balance and excellence, they complement each other in really powerful ways. And when you don't have that balance, you tend to, you know, you can get too self-absorbed in what you're doing in just one thing, you know, your sport, or in the case of business clients, your work, and the rest of your life is put on hold for long periods of time, and, you know, friendships can be lost, your family life suffers, and, you know, it can be really, the consequences can be pretty major. And so what you want to be able to do is have a life with, you know, balancing those different parts of your life. I think if your life is out of balance, nature usually has a way of getting your attention, so you get it, you reestablish that. A lot of times it can be in the form of, you know, you get a message in the form of an illness or an injury or burnout. And so, you know, it could be even, you know, a more serious illness that can happen. And in the case of, like, Dave, with your business clients, it could be excessive attention to one area of life, like too much work or diet, a bad diet, alcohol, or even too much exercise. It can lead you down this difficult road. And so I think that moderation is really what we need to work on with our clients, to creating that balance. And to create that lifestyle of moderation is like knowing how much is enough. And so it's that sense of knowing, you know, when to stop an activity before it becomes self-destructive. I think that's it's the art of kind of being conservative and sensible about your training, about your working, about your eating, and about, you know, every area of your life. So like I was saying, with the pendulum swinging from the right to the left, we also, with every period of intensity, we also need a time to back off and to relax. And so if you can think about that pendulum being able to swing back and forth, and I think that involves awareness of your body and your mind, and saying, okay, where am I at right now with the pendulum? Or asking yourself, if a 10 is a pendulum swinging way to the right of working really hard and peak performance, then coming back to the left, you know, saying, okay, do I need to swing all the way back to 1, to the left-hand side, to relax for a bit, or maybe I need to come back to just a 5. You know, and that idea of what is enough, I think, needs to be reassessed continually, because, you know, athletes often have trouble with that concept of backing off early. And let's say you have a hamstring injury from a previous day workout, and then you're thinking, oh, geez, I wish I hadn't done that workout, because now I'm going to have to lay off for, you know, several days or several weeks or something. And so if you can teach your athletes that sense of checking in with your body before a workout or during workouts and during competitions, and then being able to make that decision of how much is enough. And then in the case of a coach, being able to negotiate with or tell the coach, hey, I've got an injury, something. And so oftentimes, hopefully if it's a good coach, they'll want to protect you and say, yeah, let's back off today or take the day off. Some coaches are not like that. After I won the San Francisco Marathon several years ago, I remember I had a coach and that was having us run on the roads and running, and I was limping out there. I actually had a problem with my right leg, and the coach said, hey, Joanne, you're limping, but you got to do the workout. He said, we've got 10 miles to do. Let's just go do it. And he just totally ignored the fact that I was limping. And I ended up doing that 10 miles, and I, you know, just trying to please the coach, Alex, like just like you said, and I ended up continuing to run on it because I wanted to, I was so wanting to, you know, be a part of that team and please the coach that I ended up getting a stress fracture and having to stop running for 6 months.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's an example of not being, you know, as sensitive to my body and wanting to please the coach, and the coach not being aware at all. I ended up not working with the coach anymore because I couldn't run, and also, you know, he was not sensitive to my needs at all, and realized I could probably coach myself better than he could. Yeah, so, and I ended up then starting to swim, taking up swimming and cycling to be able to stay fit and to keep from going crazy during that time and for 6 months. And then I took up the when I could start running, I took up the triathlon and ended up getting, you know, second in the Hawaii Ironman triathlon. So that situation got, you know, as an example of being able to turn doing too much to excess, not being moderate, not listening to my body, but then getting injured, but then being able to turn it around and say, okay, I'll do a different sport for a while, and then being able to just pick up on the timing was good when the triathlons were just getting started and were just getting a lot of publicity, and being able to pick up on another sport and then realize I could be even better in this other sport. So it opened one door was closed, another door was opening up. So oftentimes that can happen with your clients. I think that to be open to new opportunities, sometimes you can start doing something completely different and realize you're just as good at that or better. So just briefly, I'll just say some tools for just a reminder, again, if for those of you who started late, we can do our next PECI call here in 2 weeks, but not on a Thursday because that's Thanksgiving, so we'll do it on Tuesday, the 26th, at that same time at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern, just so, as a reminder to all of you. And then just some tools for creating balance. And you guys can be thinking of any final questions you have here for me. I'm happy to answer those. Just a few things to keep in mind with creating balance are, you know, that idea of moderation, I think, knowing what is enough in each area of your life. So you want to avoid the, you know, extremes in everything, in sports and work and eating, drinking habits. I think all those, an example, the Aggies running club I used to belong to, they used to drink every night before the race, you know, lots of alcohol, and then go do the running race. And, you know, well, since we're young and it's no big deal, we're running, you know, you can drink as much as you want. But, you know, I think their running often suffered from that. They used to say, well, if you can't, run, if you can't be... if you can't drink the night before and then run the next day, then you shouldn't be running. which is just a joke that they used to have. Obviously, you shouldn't be drinking, but you know, they were kind of. And a lot of people think, well, as long as I'm working out, I can eat whatever I want. But there's just a lot of times in denial and realizing that you know, your body is the fuel, the food we put in is fuel for our body. And so, yeah, you can't just be working out but then have excessive vices and habits in other areas, negative ones, or it's going to really affect your performance. So you want to strive for self-control, and when you're tempted to overindulge in your favorite vices, whatever they might be, and you know, balance your work with time for exercise and family and friends. I mean, I've known many athletes who've been fantastic athletes, but yet in the background they had, like, women who had an eating disorder, and they would go and, overeat and then binge and purge, and their body was just getting destroyed inside during that time. So that's an example of, you know, extreme kinds of stress that was going on. And so if you can think of that sense of moderation, that can really go a long way to take care of your mind and body and spirit each day. And do something healthy that makes you feel good inside each day. If you've been giving a good deal of time and energy to others, you know, be sure to take time for yourself. And, just think of that pendulum flowing back and forth with each area of your life. If you, you know, computer example for business, if you've been working at your, sitting at your computer for many hours, then a good break would be standing. Anything that you're doing standing or walking, moving around would help you to balance that out. If you're talking on the phone, talking with others a lot of the time, then think, is it to balance that out, spend some time alone or with yourself, with your own thoughts. So moderation is one tool, and then a second tool is, of course, sports. You know, to remain in that area, to remain motivated and healthy and balanced, you know, try doing maybe more than one sport. Most people do only one thing, and that's, and they're, you know, so their muscles are only moving in one direction, doing one particular activity all the time. And if you cross-train, for instance, like alternating your running with swimming or biking or rollerblading, or if you're skiing, you might do, skating as an alternative. You can use different muscle groups then and experience a different mindset with each sport. So creating variety in your training is definitely a good hedge against boredom and burnout. And then the third tool is with regard to eating habits is, pay attention to your body's need for a proper balance of, just like carbohydrates, protein, and fat. And you want to hydrate with some water after workouts and create variety and diversity in your meals and meal planning, so not eating the same foods all the time. And be aware of those food cravings that, athletes often have, binging on unhealthy foods with no nutritional value. I know some athletes are just constantly, they eat fast food, burgers all the time. And, it's just, it's not really helping their batteries to recharge. So you want to get, steady diet of fresh, wholesome foods that'll enhance your sense of well-being. And then the fourth area is business. Like we were talking about with your business clients, just like we have hard and easy days in sports, balance the challenging periods of your job with less demanding intervals. So if you can create variety in your work, so you have an assortment of tasks throughout the day, if there's a way to not just be doing one thing all the time, but develop a more flexible schedule and create that time for relaxation breaks, even if it's just closing your eyes for a few minutes, taking a few deep breaths, doing a visualization, choose to work less, less times during some seasons if you can, and allow more balance. One of the things that's really difficult is, of course, we have cell phones now and texting, and when people go home from work, they feel like they're still at work because they're on a call answering emails and texts from work all the time. And if there's a way to, limit that or say, okay, for this 1 hour or for this, period of three-hour period in the evening, I'm going to not just turn off my cell phone and not answer texts or emails and just... be with my family or friends go out and do something I want to do. I think that's so important. I go to the gym, and I see people in the jacuzzi with their cell phones texting in the jacuzzi. So just last night, come on. They're taking their cell phone into the steam room. I don't know how their poor cell phone can survive in the steam room. and they just cannot be without their cell phone. Listening to something or texting or, on Facebook. And it's just, it's bad for your eyes to be constantly looking at this tiny little screen. So if you can have time, non-screen time, I call it, just not looking at something, not getting that information overload. And just, if you want to be with a real person, another person in your life. What a concept. You're actually talking face-to-face. These days, it's a rare thing. And when you're out to dinner with somebody or, when you're actually in a conversation with a person, to be able to not answering your phone all the time is a real nice thing, to just be able to relax with somebody. So, I think we need to be constantly vigilant about what critical parts of our lives need more of our attention, and strive to. There may never be a perfect balance for all the parts of our lives, but we can strive to attend to each important element at least sometime during the week. And with that properly balanced lifestyle, I think we can maintain that kind of inner harmony in our pursuits. Do any of you have questions or any other thoughts about all that?
Joanne, it's Amy. I just wanted to tell you that I've had two really great phone calls with the woman from the insurance company.
Oh, yeah.
And what she wants to do is a pilot program.
Great.
So I think we're going to start something in January where I do a pilot program for a small group, and then we see what happens. And if it grows, then and it's successful, then we'll spread it out to other areas. So the next move is to talk to her on Tuesday and figure out a really good email that she can send out to the employees to draw some interest so people sign up for it. That's kind of where we are.
Wow, that's great.
Wow, it's so good. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do for the pilot program, do you think? Do you have thoughts?
Well, that's what I'm thinking about now.
Uh-huh.
But listening to this conversation today gave me some good ideas, because I think it really is. The two biggest issues she said she sees with the employees are smoking and being overweight.
Uh-huh.
And so I had this theme and this idea of making it a very individual program for each one of them, where we kind of assess what is it that each individual wants to be able to improve in their life and make better.
Uh-huh.
And then I go through different exercises with them to create, this lasting change, because what they're doing now it doesn't last. They can't stick to it. So that was sort of the theme, but I like this whole idea of the balance, what areas need more attention in your life, where are you being excessive, and, I think this is going to be an important part, too.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations, Amy.
So, yeah, I was happy about that, because she could have just said, we can't do this right now, so I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And you said it's a really big insurance company, right? So it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be great if it will be. I'm not going to say it could be. It's going.
Yeah, it will
thinking
be.
Positively.
Sure. No, I mean, a pilot program, that sounds fantastic. That's the perfect place to start. Yeah.
Yeah, to start in baby steps and to not overwhelm myself with it and just really make it a valuable experience for a small group of people, and then to, kind of build on that theme.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I'm wondering, Pam, if you can bring in some meditating and breathing exercises to their routine.
I think that would be great. I think that would be a great thing to add, because they're located in Philadelphia, so I want to be able to go and do this in person with them.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be a part of getting them into, that relaxed mode.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and visualizations, from the book, you could do something from there and adapt it to business, and and you could do some for them, and while you're doing it there, if you're doing it live, you could create, just have a little microphone and record it if you can, and then you could make an MP3 for them or an audio file, and then give it to the company or to her for them to use themselves, because everybody has iPods these days.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that way they'd have something, a tool straight from you to use right away. That would be great. So I'm so excited for you, Amy. Congratulations.
Well, thanks for your help.
Yeah, sure. Keep us posted.
I highly recommend her. We had a session together, and she gave me some great ideas. So.
Yeah, our session together? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You gave me some really good ideas and got me ready for the call.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we did a private session. And so if any of you need a private session, I do those separately kind of thing for you. We can have a time for you. I can work with you. So that would be great. So thanks. Yeah, Gamey, that was great working with you. And I think, yeah, we can really customize it for you. So
yeah, so that'll be the next thing, is to create, you know, really for me to create something that's going to work well.
Yeah. That's you spoke about emails. Create an email for them. Maybe our next on our next call, I can talk about that too. How to use emails that that people you know get people excited about your program or your coaching and all.
Well, you know what? I'm talking to her Tuesday, so I'm going to email you to set something up before then.
Okay. Great.
If you're around.
Yeah, I'm an expert on the emails. Because there's a definitely right and wrong way to do them. You know, if you just put big, huge chunks of text, people don't listen, don't read it. It's got to be, you know, just, yeah, written just the right way. So, yeah, I can help you with that for sure.
Okay. Okay. I'll send you an email.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. Thanks, everyone. And, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
anything,
you, John.
Oh, do you want to just, anyone want to say what gems or what was most useful for you today? Or any points that drove home to you?
I think this is going to help me out a lot with my life and how I'm going to set up my coaching business with training for golf. And this has really just opened up my eyes to a lot of stuff. And the business stuff was great. I mean, even it, there's so much information here. It's almost like you could create a whole corporate culture with your Performing Edge stuff being kind of the root of it all. It's pretty cool. I used to work at the Rowell Golf Resort, and Marriott had a whole thing set up for how to treat people and all these different things. And I'm thinking, this is such an in-depth way to do stuff. What a great way that you could bring this into business as well. It's really, really exciting stuff.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think it is really, these principles apply to everything for sports and business and life and fear of flying, fear of just about anything.
Yeah.
Just taking anxiety, you name it.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much for your effort and your attention to detail through all this. It's really, really quite detailed and amazing, and I'm sure I'll have more questions. But this has been great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyone else? Any useful tips that you learned today? Or
for me, it was great listening to this whole thing about balance, because I have no balance right now because I just got a puppy and I'm absolutely fried. So I enjoy sitting and listening to this conversation.
Oh, good. That's great. Okay, good. Yeah. So anyone else? Thank you. Yeah, thanks everyone for, thanks Pam and Sue and Alex and Dave and Amy. Oh, did I forget anyone? if I forgot anyone, I'm sorry. so great. And
me, Sophie.
Sophie, oh my gosh, Sophie, I forgot. Oh,
it's okay.
I'm so sorry. I'm calling all the way from Brussels. Yeah. Do you have any questions, Sophie, or any comments about today?
No. I thought it was very, very interesting. And what I see or what I observe with myself and with my clients is it's enough to be in perfect balance. Sometimes they are panicking. But it's also depending where you are in your life. It's just the thing not to get too long in unbalance. But being unbalanced, it's not so bad. I think it's being in harmony. It is important, in harmony with yourself. For me, it's more about being in harmony than balanced.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Being happy with yourself and being able to, have everything sort of, working well together. Yeah. So that's great. Okay. Good. And thanks, Sophie, for sending your assignments and everything. And I'll respond to your email. I think were you the one that sent the email about the yeah, that you had to do a visualization and had you had difficulty at first?
It was a nice challenge.
Yeah, so that client wasn't exactly ready for a visualization at first.
Yeah, but I made it. I made it. I did a first experience. I learned from it. So it was very, very interesting. To learn from it. Yes, definitely. But it took me a while, so that's why I was not so regular anymore with my set assignments, because I wanted to integrate everything. I wanted to take my time to understand and way to do it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for sending that assignment. And Dave, I know you've been sending lots of assignments too. That's great. That's great. And I'll give you feedback on them too. So, it's always good to – thanks, Sophie. Yeah, you persisted and made it work with that client. it's okay to wait until they're ready and they just kind of do things. You pace the client so that they're like you say, give them examples of the visualization to do, to try themselves so they're comfortable with it. So that's great. Okay. Well, I have to run.
Hey, Joanne. Joanne, I just have one more quick question.
Sure.
Do you give a level 2 course as well?
Thanks for asking that. Yeah, I'm just starting to I'm going to start offering that in the next week, actually. Now that you've asked about it, because I'm putting together the agenda for that. So, I'll send you an email more about it, and I'll send that right away so that you can start. Because the first level covers the first 2 sections of the book, and so I wanted to do a level 2 that covers the other sections of the book there on peak performance and performing well at the higher levels, and then the chapter, section 5 is all about handling diversity and handling difficult situations and overcoming those, and then more advanced marketing techniques too and business.
Awesome,
that's great. So thanks for asking about that. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, you're exactly.
Yeah.
I've been putting that together right now, so we're on the same wavelength for sure.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So yeah, I want to get that started next week. So I'll send you an email. I'll send all of you an email about that. This new level 2 course of the Performing Edge certification. Yeah, that'll be great. So it'll be the first one's a professional certification, and the next one will be a master's level certification too. So, yeah, just a lot more learning and more techniques and all kinds of the latest stuff here.
Great.
Thanks. Okay, so we'll talk. I'll send you that email, and then everyone put on the November 26th, the Tuesday, not the Thursday. Since Thursday is Thanksgiving, we'll meet on the 26th. Okay, we'll talk to you soon, everyone. Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.